So we are going to continue in our message series about the Holy Spirit,
yes, hallelujah.
Who he is. He's the third person of the Trinity. There's the Godhead is the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He comes to dwell on the inside of every believer.
Yes.
When you give your life to Christ, when you were born again, you receive the Holy Spirit. He's the one who recreates your spirit on the inside, which is not alive to God, dead to God.
Separated
from God. But he brings life. He brings the very life of God into your spirit. And he comes to dwell inside of you, which is really, when you consider it, the most amazing miracle of all.
Amen.
That God dwells on the inside of you if you're a believer. That makes you special.
Amen.
Yeah. And so he has a personality. He has a way of operating.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel his power. You can feel his presence. I think as we began to talk about him these last few weeks, some of you are noticing that.
Yes.
When you've had hands laid upon you the last couple of weeks, we've laid hands on people. Some of you have walked away going, did you not feel something? Someone is what you felt. There's an impartation of the Spirit that comes through the laying on of hands.
Yes.
Sometimes when we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit, his presence, his power manifesting, gifts of the Spirit, some people get a little nervous. Some churches get a little nervous. There are whole denominations built around saying no to the power and the gifts of the Spirit. And so we know that it does make people nervous. But there's nothing weird about the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
Or the manifestations of the gift of the Spirit. Or talking about his presence and talking about relying upon him and fellowshipping with him. Talking to him in your heart every day. Nothing
right.
strange about that. We're actually wired for that kind of communication. Because if you're born of the Spirit.
Yes, come on. Come on.
And God is Spirit, then this is how he communicates with us. It's Spirit to Spirit on the inside. Your Spirit on the inside of you. Sometimes it's likened to like he's living inside of you in your heart. And you are able to commune with him in your heart. And when we get our minds renewed with Scripture. And we see how his power is meant to work in our lives as something normal. It becomes normal to us. When you read through the book of Acts from the day of Pentecost on, when the fullness of the Holy Spirit was poured out, we talked about that the last couple of weeks. You see how much when you begin read. I would encourage you to go and read through the book of Acts as
yes.
we're doing this series. And you will notice how many times you see the name of the Holy Spirit written in there. And we looked at scriptures about this, about Paul. One of the first things he went when there were new believers in different areas, he went and asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
since you believed? And he was taught, and then scripture shows he would lay his hands upon them. And the gift of the Holy Spirit
yes.
with the evidence of speaking and praying in an unknown tongue would manifest. And if you've missed any of these messages, you're wondering, what are you talking about? You can always go back on iTunes. It's for free. We have ourselves on iTunes and even on the website. You can just go in and tune in for free. Even download the outline if you want to.
I think what should get us nervous is people not actually being involved with the
yeah.
Holy Ghost.
I mean, in the last couple of weeks, some of you have begun to come to us and share some testimonies of this is happening to you. When hands were laid upon you, there was the evidence
mm-hmm.
you received the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And this is what happens. See, when you begin to talk about the Holy Spirit and you read scripture about him, faith begins to rise in our
yes.
hearts. And all of a sudden, there's this spirit-to-spirit connection going on. And when you yield, when you're open in your heart and you say, Holy Spirit, just like we sang that
Come
song,
on.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
Right.
And I think that's some of what happens to us. We want to control everything. And that song has some good words in it, that I can't control.
Yeah.
Because we have to move over off of the throne of our lives and give him control of our life. And when we do that, we start to see some changes happening. And you do start to see some manifestations of the Spirit happen as we open up our heart and believe. When you look through the book of Acts, you begin to see how much they relied upon the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I mean, the Holy Spirit would give specific instructions, like telling Paul, don't go to that city. Or he would say, he spoke to them and told Paul, bonds and affliction are waiting for you. When you go to that city. But I want you to go anyways.
Right.
And I think that it's not really sometimes what you want to hear even from the Holy Spirit. Who wants to hear the bonds and affliction are going to wait, are waiting for you as you walk into the will of God? I don't think any of us want to hear that.
I didn't see anybody's hands go up. Like, what?
But the power of that is that the revelation of the Holy Spirit would anchor and ground Paul. Yes. When he found himself sitting in a prison cell.
That's good.
He wouldn't be sitting there going, what am I doing here? And we often make that mistake when we hit difficulties in our lives. We run into suffering in our lives. We tend to think, I must be out of the will of God. Mm. Mm. But the will of God actually led Paul into those places. And it was for a greater purpose.
Correct.
I mean, he wrote so much of the New Testament that we are still reading and getting life from today while sitting in a prison cell. But he was learning some things about humility. It's just like it said, Jesus learned obedience by what he suffered.
Yes.
There was some things, there were things that Paul was able to write so that we can understand when we hit suffering times in our life or God leads us into a hard place, we may still be in the will of God. I mean, sometimes our own bad decisions will lead us into a hard place. And I think these are the things we need to know from the Holy Spirit. What? Why am I here? And yes. We can ask him those things. But sometimes what often looks for defeat for us, when we put ourselves into God's hands like Paul would have done in that prison cell, knowing I'm here by your will, you warned me this was going to happen. Help me, Lord, to walk through this and not become offended. He can bring life from it, and
Come
he
on.
Did.
Right.
Look what we're getting from it.
Oh, my gosh.
So your trial and your test and your suffering, God can redeem it.
Come
God
on.
Can bring new life from it.
Come
he
on.
Can make all things new.
That's really
right?
good.
And so because the Holy Spirit revealed that to Paul as just a part of his ordained path, that it would include suffering, he could lean into the Holy Spirit. He could gain the strength that the Holy Spirit could give him so that he could overcome in it. And he triumphed even in
yes.
it.
Yes.
That's what you call a triumph, because he didn't fall away and drift away and become offended because things got tough in his life. And
we take a look at the book of Acts. Like Pastor Mamie said, it would be good for you to read the book of Acts as we go through this. It's hey, we love the Word of God in this place. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, this is life. This is direction. This is, you know, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. These are the things that he does for us in our lives. And he's always going to bring us in line with the written word of God. We see how often the disciples really were relying on the Holy Spirit during that time period. Remember what Jesus, you know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does? He leads you and guides you into all truth. And so now we're going to take part of his ministry right here, right now. Remember what we found out last week? Jesus says that I'm not going to leave you as orphans when he was ready to leave and go. He says, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm going to send somebody. This is what he said. He says, I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another comforter, the counselor, intercessor, the helper, the advocate, the standby, the strengthener. And that he's going to remain with you forever. And he says, that word, I'm going to give you another comforter, that means an identical. Not somebody different, but identical. This is really important. Because you'll read in the book of Acts where Peter and the disciples, they were all from the Jewish nation. You understand that? They thought salvation was only for the Jews. That's it. Jews, that's it. Nobody else. Everybody else was considered, quote unquote, dogs. But the Holy Spirit had to bring Peter's realization that the gospel is for all people. Mm-hmm. And so he brought him a vision. That vision happened to him three times. And then he spoke. The Holy Spirit spoke. Everybody said he spoke.
He spoke.
He spoke to Peter and said, there's three guys at the door. You know, I'm sending them. I want you to go with them. Pretty odd, because Peter grew up staying separated from all these guys, but yet he understood the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is identical. It's the Spirit of Jesus. So Peter goes with them. And this is remarkable because this is the first time that Gentiles, who we are, we're Gentiles, heard the gospel. And what happened? They heard the gospel, they got saved, and they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're speaking in tongues and prophesying. This is pretty awesome. This is how we are to be in tune with the Holy Spirit ourselves. There's a lot that we have to navigate through life, isn't there? And wouldn't it be nice to have inside information?
Yeah.
You know, this is on our outline here. Knowing how to hear, follow, and obey the leading of the Holy Spirit is vital to our victory to overcome in this life. It's vital. It's not just that we hear. It's that we obey what we hear. Even if it seems difficult. Pastor Mamie just brought this up with Paul. Hearing the good news from the Holy Ghost. Bonds and affliction await you. But even in that, he was obedient. And again, the benefit was, Paul might not have known what the benefit was at the time, but here's the outcome. We're reading scripture that Paul wrote while he was sitting in prison. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. It is really awesome. Because even if it's an instruction we don't want, or an instruction that is going to bring us suffering or hardship, and we're obeying it, that's the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. This is really a mark of a true disciple. We need the guidance of the Holy Ghost, don't we? Because, like Pastor Mamie was saying, in our difficult times, if we know we're in the will of God, then we're going to have this inward strength to even put up with the circumstances and see it through. Right. Because we know we're in the will of God. That is comforting.
Yeah.
You know, but unfortunately, too many people give up if it gets hard. We give up. We look for the easier path, you know. We don't press in. You know, walking with God takes effort.
And walking with God is no guarantee for an easy life. If anything, it's a guarantee for a difficult life. But it's a victorious life.
Come on.
And I think sometimes we've gotten our theology and our understanding of what it means to follow God all mixed up. Because we're the first ones to preach, by faith you can overcome in this life.
Yes,
you can triumph in this life. But sometimes our triumph means that I didn't give up and give in and walk away from God when I hit a bad time in my life.
Come on.
I persevered. You know, when you persevere and you see it through to the end, you are faithful to the end to stay in love with God. A passion for God. And sometimes we have to wait till we get to heaven to get all the answers. And we have to be okay with that at some point in our life. When unexpected things happen, we have to sometimes shelve it for a while and go, it's too difficult, it's too hard for me. I can't figure it all out.
Right.
But God knows. And in the end, when you do reach heaven and you stand before Christ, there's no way you will ever accuse him that he did something unjustly in your life.
Come on.
Because he's an all-righteous judge.
Amen.
And he's all good.
Right.
And all those pieces will all fit together at some point. And you'll go, oh, I get it. It'll all make sense then. And so we have to tap into that now and say, you know, God, you're good. In spite of it all, you're good. And even just like Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done in my life.
Come on.
And so we would help ourselves to understand that what it does mean to walk in victory in the midst of suffering. When we can combine them, we can fellowship with Jesus in our suffering.
Come on. Yes.
And that's where that overcoming spirit does come from. And we'd so need the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because you just open the news up, you just listen to anything, and there's just tragedy. There's so many senseless things that happen in our lives anymore. You go, I can't figure this out. And then we're just sometimes left to pick up all the pieces and try to piece them together. But we'll never do it without the help and the
Amen.
Wisdom of God.
Amen.
And leaning into him and doing just what I was just saying, going, God, I can't understand it all, but I trust that you're good and you will make sense of it and you can redeem it. You can bring something beautiful out of ashes in our lives.
Come on.
Amen.
That's so true.
And
because the greatest tragedy is that We don't step into the mission that we're called to do. You and I have a responsibility before God to bring and bear witness of what Jesus has done in our lives. And without us opening our mouth, people are going to die and go to hell. But we got the good news right inside of us. We have the Holy Ghost right inside of us. He's going to be the one speaking the words that will cause the individual to have those most holy emotions stirring in their heart.
Right.
We need the Holy Spirit. You and I need the Holy Spirit to live this life.
Amen. Yeah. And again, this is why the mission of the church is so important.
Yes.
This is God's heart, that his church would rise up and become who we are called to be.
Come on.
You know, some of us want a move of God. We want a move of God. Well, we are the move of God.
Come on. Like
we are people on assignment, right? We just need to get up and go. And I think, I look at all these empty seats and I think, this bothers me, Lord.
Yes.
Because every empty seat represents the potential for a person to come and hear about the love of God and the gospel and the forgiveness of sins and new life and
yes.
new purpose and
yes.
new meaning.
Yes.
And eternity is changed because of it. So I'm asking you to ask the Holy Spirit to use some of that boldness
that he
puts on the inside of us. Who can you invite to church? What friend, what coworker, what family member could you invite? Who would he lay on your heart to say? And if we all invited somebody, these seats would all be filled, would they not? Would they not? Right?
We need to ask God to open our eyes and that we see people who are lost the way he sees them.
Right. Right.
Not be afraid, oh, no, if I ask them, what happens? Well, if you don't ask them, they might die and go to hell.
Yeah, yeah. And really, folks, we are facing harder and harder times, are we not? I mean, now is the time to pray. Now is the time to build our house, so to speak,
yeah,
with God.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Because this is what Paul said. He wrote to Timothy, a young pastor, and this is what he says. Listen to how he had this relationship with the Holy Spirit. It says this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, Paul writes this, the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will turn away from the faith and give attention to deluding and seducing spirits. Paul didn't say, I think the Holy Spirit was saying this.
Explicitly says.
He knew it.
Yeah.
And it's a warning to you and I, because let's face it, guys. Open the news, turn on the television. We are in difficult times.
Yeah.
And the Bible has declared these times are going to be. And God knew where you were going to live. He knew the time of human history that you'd be living in. And so he has put a responsibility on you. He has put a responsibility on me to have his will done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
It says, the Spirit explicitly says, the Holy Spirit distinctly said to him, this is how we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit ourselves. We can't just have a hit and miss. We can't just like throw the dice and think, well, maybe. He's warning us. The Bible declares that in the latter times, there's going to be false Christs, false prophets that rise up. They're going to perform miracles, great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, God's very own people. The deception is going to be so great. And look, it started 2,000 years ago. Do you think that we're in the end times? We are, folks. And this is why we need the Holy Spirit so desperately, so that we can avoid pitfalls. And like Pastor Mamie says, even if we run into some difficult times, that we don't get offended to God. And we make up these promises. Oh, you said I could have this. You said I could have this. I'm mad at you, Lord. What if Paul did that? I'm not writing anything.
Yeah. I'm not going to prison another time. That's it. Yeah. I've done my time. Yeah.
I'm not going to prison another time.
But the scripture promises us that in the last days, which we believe we are in the last of the last days,
yes.
There's just so many things that are getting fulfilled in scripture, that people will become perplexed
yes.
at what they see happening in the earth.
Fearful.
Perplexed, meaning I am confused. I do not understand this. And look at Luke 21,
yep.
says this, there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity.
There you go.
The sea and the waves roaring, men fainting from fear and expectation of what is coming on the inhabited earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken.
Hello.
Now is the time.
This is good.
To build your house on the rock. Not when a storm hits. It's difficult to build in a storm. Some of you are in construction. How would that work if you just had this all-out flaming halfway hurricane hit while you're trying to build a house? Where's the wood? Where's the hammer? Where's the nail gun? Where's the, right?
Where's
Everything's flying in every direction. It's not easy to build a house.
Come on.
When a storm hits. You can do it by the power and grace of God. It's possible. God could redeem anything.
Amen.
But it's smarter, it's wiser to do it when your life is peaceful. When you've when this place isn't shaking around, when the powers of the heavens aren't shaking
Come
around.
On.
Because
right.
that's when you're going to want to draw on the strength of spirit that God
Amen.
Has given you up until that point. When everything's going in every direction, it's hard to think straight, hard to make a plan.
Come on.
Stay steady. Now is
right.
the time.
Right.
Now is the time, because scripture really does say your life in James. There's so many things. It's interesting how God talks to us. Because on one hand, he says, with a long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. And then in the book of James, he says, your life is like a vapor. It's just like a mist that appears for a moment and then it
gone.
Disappears. It's gone. And in the book of James, it basically says, you're not promised tomorrow.
Right.
That the will of God, we should say, if God wills this. And so we need to be asking God about these things in our lives. Today is the day of salvation. If you're sitting here and you're thinking, I don't even know exactly what she's talking about, or if I'd go to heaven when I die, then you can know. That's
yep.
good you came to church this morning. That's the clarity we believe that the gospel gives, that it's a gift and you can receive forgiveness and walk with God. So we've kind of got, we're talking today,
we're
the title of the topic of the message is the personality of the Holy Spirit. That's what we want to get into for the rest of the message.
Right. We're going to look at some of his attributes, some of his personality,
yeah.
you know. Let's take a look at this first one. You know, he has a mind.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit has a mind. We got to understand, he's not human. We're created in his image. You know, he's not created in our image. We have a mind because he has a mind.
Yeah.
And now look what it says here, Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Now the mind of the flesh is death. Okay. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and peace, both now and forever. The mind of the Spirit is the mind of Christ. Hello? Mm-hmm. And we know the mind of Christ is the written word of God. So if we know the word, then we'll know the mind of Christ. We'll be able to distinguish between the mind of the flesh, which is death and destruction, and the mind of the spirit, which is life and peace. Let's see, which do I want? Okay. What's the answer?
Yeah. Choose life.
Choose life. Yes. We have to renew our minds. To renew your mind means it's going to take effort. That means you're going to have to sacrifice something you really want to do to something that's going to give you eternal life.
Yeah.
That means you're going to have to read the Bible. Everybody say read.
Read.
Yeah, remember that in school? That's what they taught you? Hopefully they still do. One nice thing is you could be doing the dishes or cooking dinner, and you could have it on your phone, and you could be listening to the book of Acts. And listen every time it says the Holy Spirit explicitly said. That's what we want. We want to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit who's going to lead and guide us through this life. Amen. That we will be fruitful in this life. Do you know this life isn't all there is? But what you do in this life will produce what you're going to do in eternity. So let's do the right thing, amen? To renew your mind, to distinguish between the mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit, that means you're going to have to pay attention to what you're thinking. Sometimes you know how fast thoughts come to your mind, huh?
Yeah.
It's like, what was I just thinking? That was the dumbest thing. Anybody ever have that? That's the dumbest thing I've ever thought of. It's like, thank God it doesn't happen that often. Well.
Oh, my. Let's go on and number the second
thank
part
you.
Of the personality.
Bail me out.
The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you think in line with the Word of God if
Amen.
You ask Him to. But He speaks.
Yes.
This is the second thing. The Holy Spirit does speak. And this scripture, John 16:13, says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever
go.
He hears, He will speak, and He will declare it to you. He will declare to you the things that are to come.
Awesome.
There's so much in that verse. But how does the Holy Spirit, let's focus on this, how does the Holy Spirit speak to us today? Yeah. Number one way He speaks to us is through His written word, because Jesus is the Word of God.
Amen.
So if you want to know about Jesus, you have to go to the Word of God. He is the Word of God. And you open it up in faith.
Mm-hmm.
When you approach it in faith,
mm-hmm.
this word in faith, you open your heart in faith, you will begin to understand who He is.
Amen.
So God's will is found in His word. So many people want to know the will of God for their lives, just read through the New Testament.
Come on.
Give yourself a challenge.
Yeah, there you go. Give God six.
You know, we're coming towards the end of this year in 2019. Give yourself a challenge. Go 6 months giving God, read the Word. Make a commitment to God. I'm going to get through. Give yourself a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Get through the Gospels. Make it a short enough goal that you can do it. But just do it.
Yes.
Give him those 6 months of committing to, we're going to talk about this a little bit more in the days to come, six basic things, and you will see life transformation. You'll see life change happen.
Amen.
You see, God has done His part. We have to do our part if we want to connect in and see the life change.
Come on.
That we need. And so the Holy Spirit, basically what we say when He speaks, He bears witness. When you read the Word of God, He will bear witness with your spirit. He will begin to speak. When we say bear witness, you're not going to hear a voice talking to you. Very rare that that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it will bear witness. You'll have a knowing in your heart of what the Lord is saying to you. Some of you have said to us when we walk out of here, how'd you know what I was dealing with? What you were talking about spoke right to me. I think, I didn't know. We just pray that whatever we're preaching, Lord, you take it like a piece of bread and you break it apart and you feed people with it.
Right.
And that's what happens. The Holy Spirit takes that and speaks it personally to you. You're hearing the Holy Spirit this morning. It's a supernatural
Amen.
Thing. You
Amen.
Are hearing God speak to you this
yep.
morning. And so He teaches. This is the next thing we want to look at. He teaches.
This is great.
And that's really when He's speaking, He's often teaching. Look at John 14:26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to
there.
You. He can teach you everything. He's God. He knows everything. He knows everything about what you're seeing in the world. He knows everything about the behind the scenes in the spiritual realm.
Come on.
The natural and the supernatural. But to be taught by Him, you have to honor Him as a teacher on the inside of you.
That's good.
It's a student-teacher relationship.
Yeah.
You're the student. He's the teacher. It's just like in a classroom setting. He'd say, okay, the classroom is life. That's the classroom setting for Him. There's a required book.
Yeah.
The Bible, right?
Yes.
You're the student. He's the teacher. So if you want to know something, it's like raise your hand all day long. Teacher, I have a question, I have a question, I have a question. Ask Him. Seek, knock. He will teach you all things. He'll give you understanding.
And then the next thing is he leads us. He will lead us. This is just so exciting to me. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. If you're being led by the Spirit of God, that declares that you're a son or a daughter of God. You and I cannot fulfill our destiny that God has designed for your life without being led by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And how's that going to happen? He's going to have it through the body of Christ. You might come here this morning and somebody has said something to you that just bore witness in your heart. It's like, that kind of put me over. That made me feel a little better. Yeah, I can face tomorrow. Yeah. You know, sometimes he's going to lead you into circumstances. Your circumstances are going to back you in a corner. If you keep backing off from God, pretty soon he's going to put you in a corner. And he says, okay, now this is the only answer you have. It's me. And here's the other thing. The Holy Spirit has emotions. Remember, we're created in his image. He has emotions. Look what it says here, Galatians chapter 5. This is an awesome part of Scripture. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the 9 fruits of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit is working into your spirit. You want to, boy, can't we all test ourselves on this?
Yeah.
How's your love walk? How was it this morning? What grade did you get, a C? Or did you get a D? Don't elbow him. How about self-control, faithfulness? Too many people want to just quit. It's hard. Life is hard.
Yeah.
But we have a guide. We have a teacher. We have a strengthener. We have somebody who's going to show us things to come. He's going to give us the ability to overcome in our lives. But we have to be able to hear him. We have to understand he's real. He's operating in your life to help you. So let's just cooperate with him. Here I am, Lord, help me. I'm a mess. I need your help. Am I the only one? But this is a great way to judge ourselves, isn't it? Galatians 5:22. All right, how's my love walk? How's my gentleness? How my words? Were my words kind this morning or were they abrasive? Don't elbow husbands and wives. We're all guilty of these things, but we've got to ask the Holy Spirit to help us.
Right.
Let's don't quit halfway through. Let's allow him to show us things that we are failing in so that we can improve.
Right.
He's not showing you something to condemn you. He's showing us things so that we can be better.
Yeah.
I'm all for that. Yeah. Remember we talked about the mind of the flesh or the mind of the Spirit? He's helping us make the distinction between the two.
Right. Yes. That's good. That's good. Preach it, Pastor Steve. I was just thinking, we cannot try to do this on our own because look at these fruit of the Spirit, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, like some of this stuff, this is difficult, isn't it?
Yeah. Can I hear an amen? Yeah.
Gentleness. Self-control. It just seems like all I see is people out of control. I think, but it's the grace of God. We begin to understand that the Holy Spirit is a spirit of grace, and grace is God's power to do in and through you what you cannot do yourself. So when you're like, I am, could I ever be a kind person? Some of you, some of you just may have a personality. It just seems like I'm always saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. Well, that you have to ask the Holy Spirit.
There.
It's like, God, I can't do this on my own, but help me. I'm going to make this exchange. I'm going to just rely on you. I'm going to rely on your power.
Yep, come on.
And like you said, not to feel condemned when you find yourself falling in it again, but say, thank you for your grace to change me, Lord. You're changing me. You're giving me your grace to change me. And little by little, you will walk in that as we put faith in his power and grace to change us.
Right.
Instead of just trying, you know, white-knuckling it, and I'm just going to try to be a different person. It's God's grace that helps us become that. So the last couple here, he comforts.
Yes.
John 15, 26. He is a comforter. The Holy Spirit's personality is to comfort us. It says, but when the comforter comes,
this is good,
whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will himself testify regarding me. So he's called a comforter.
Awesome.
He's your advocate. He has power to comfort you in the tests and trials of life.
Yes.
We go back to this word suffering. He will comfort. He's the best counselor that you could have.
Come on.
But here's the other thing. Very often, the Holy Spirit will use the body of Christ to be a vessel for some of that comfort to come.
Come on.
People tend to want to just receive everything on their own from God. Well, we are to receive from him, but sometimes he's going to send you to a place where you can get comfort through his body, because we are the living representatives of Christ in the earth.
Amen.
So he's going to send you to a body of people who can put their arms around you, pray for you, encourage you, try to help you through the tests and trials of life. We can't push away from people and say, I'm going to do this and isolate on my own. You have to come where the body is so that the vessels, then the people set apart for that can actually help you by the grace of God.
Amen.
And so he also does this. He convicts.
Yes.
John 16, 8. It's the Holy Spirit's personality and work to convict. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
There you go.
Now, the world would rather not feel conviction of sin. And consider, you know, that judgment for sin is sure to come. This is what the gospel tells us.
Right.
I mean, the gospel is good news because, but first of all, to understand it to be good, you have to understand the bad news. And the bad news is that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and there's a penalty for it.
Yes.
There's a penalty for it, for if you want to pay for your own sin, and that's eternity in hell. But the good news is what this is, to know that Jesus paid the penalty. He shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sin. And so we thank God for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When people feel a little bit uncomfortable when they're hearing the gospel, that's good. Because it will lead, when the heart is open, it'll lead a person to repent, which means forgiveness of sins, which means everlasting life comes.
Hallelujah.
A gift of life comes to them.
Look, the next thing is that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. He can be grieved. You can grieve the Holy Spirit by staying in the flesh, refusing his correction. It's important for us to understand he can be grieved.
Yeah.
This isn't cool.
And sometimes you know it. When you and another person, both, you know, you've had words between one another and there's this, this heavy feeling between you.
Quick to repent.
Yeah, that's often because the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is even feeling grieved over the way this is going between you and another person.
Yeah.
And so he's going to, you know, push us to...
The Holy Spirit can be insulted. This is really dangerous. Jesus says if you sin against the Holy Spirit, your sin's unforgiven. You know, this is why we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. This is why we have to be knowledgeable of the Word of God, so we don't fall into these kind of things.
Yeah.
This is conviction, like Pastor Mamie is saying. Conviction is good. Conviction is not condemnation. Conviction is like, hey, come on, I'm going to help you get along here, and we're going to put that away from us, and we're not going to live that way anymore. And then
he could be resisted. Acts 7:5. Says,
look at that. This is pretty amazing.
This is a sermon. Yeah. This is Paul preaching, you stiff-necked people.
Yikes! I don't want to hear that.
That's not a seeker-friendly message. All right, everybody. You stiff-necked people, you were just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit.
Oh, my gosh. That's a scary thought.
The Holy Spirit is our helper. He wants to show us help and favor.
Yes.
But he can be resisted by a person's heart just saying, no, you could sit there, look all nice and pretty, but you could just be saying, nope, I am not going to listen to that.
Yeah.
And we don't want, but we are not people.
No.
Really, to be that foolish to do that. Because God holds out everlasting life to us. We want to welcome the Holy Spirit in yes. everything that we're doing. He is our teacher. He is our guide. He's the lover of our soul. He knows more about you than you know about yourself.
Amen.
He knows God's plan and purpose for your life.
Mm-hmm.
He knows why you're here in the earth for this such a time as this. The best thing, the wisest thing we could do is invite him into our life yeah. and say, where have you been? I've been waiting for you. But he does wait to be invited in. That's something about, that's another character trait of the Holy Spirit. He's a gentleman.
Yeah,
he is not going to force himself into your life. He waits to be invited.
Come on.
He waits for you to use your free will and to hear and faith to rise up, just yeah. like what you've been hearing in this message, and go, I want to know you. And that's as easy it is to be born again, to be born of God's Spirit, find new life, is simply to recognize I am a sinner.
Yes, come on.
And I need forgiveness for my sin. And Jesus offers forgiveness of sin as a gift, simply by opening up your heart by faith and receiving it. So if you're here today and you're thinking, I want salvation, I need forgiveness for my sin, I want to walk in new life, you didn't come here for just by accident. You're hearing the message of the gospel for a reason.